Good morning, gentlemen. Are we ready?
Good morning. Yes, we are.
You're ready?
Sure.
Set to go. Is the public ready? All right. This is a regularly convened meeting of the Miami Beach Zoning Board of Adjustment. And we have 6 members of the 7 present, so we have a quorum. Is that right, Mr. City Attorney?
That's correct.
And we can proceed. We have minutes. You've all received a copy of them. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Hear a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. No opposed. Mr. City Attorney, do you have any updates for us?
I have no updates, but I'd be happy to swear in the public and any members
that's
of staff
who
will be,
right.
Who'll be providing testimony today. Please raise your right hands. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. I'll also read the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. You're appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person. You need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should go downstairs and register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they're communicating. If you're an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor of or against an item or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance.
Thank you, City Attorney. Do you have any requests for continuances or withdrawals?
We do not have any requests for continuances or withdrawals.
Any requests for extension of time?
No requests for extensions of time.
Any discussion items?
No discussion items today.
Progress reports?
No progress reports.
Wow, so far so good. Any modification of previously approved orders?
No modifications today.
No continued items?
No continued items.
No open and continued items?
No open and continued items.
Then we're at new applications.
New applications, we have 2. And the first application is on, the first application is for file number ZBA 18-0086. It's for 1746 Cleveland Road. They're requesting a variance from the required front yard setback for the construction of a new garage addition to a single family home, an existing single family home. The request is to be able to encroach into the setback. What's the number? By six feet, 10 inches. There it is. Sorry about that. 6 feet, 10 inches. The existing lot coverage and unit size is being is well below what is allowed, so we don't have any concerns with this garage creating a house that is above the scale that should be allowed in the neighborhood. It will be following the existing nonconforming setback of 5 feet, which is permitted in the code for houses to follow existing nonconforming setbacks. Currently, the new required setback, I believe, is 7 feet 5 inches. Is the required typically required setback 7.5 feet. And then one thing we noted that homeowners have an expectation to have in a garage, so that is part of their hardship, part of their practical difficulty. We looked at other homes in the area, and it appears that about 10 out of the 30 homes on that block, which is Cleveland Road, between Hendon Avenue and a waterway, about 10 have encroachments into the front setback. If this variance were not allowed, they could have a carport, which goes all the way up to, I believe, 6 inches from the property line, which has a similar effect as a garage. So they could have a structure to cover their cars in the front yard so that impact that this variance would allow could take place regardless of whether the variance is allowed or not.
But it wouldn't be enclosed.
It would not be enclosed, but it would have a roof structure with canvas and pipe that could go all the way up to the front property line. So actually, the impact of the garage would be less than the impact of a carport, which could be done by right.
Could the carport have walls at all?
The carport could not have walls. No, it would just be the pipe structure and the roof, the canvas roof. They could also have a solar carport, which could be a more permanent roof. It could be an actual solid structure as opposed to just the canvas. However, the solar carport can't encroach all the way to the front property line. I believe it can only encroach 15 feet into the front setback. The other issue that we did find as part of the variance request is that the setback would create a parking space of only 16 feet. I'm sorry, 13 feet. A required parking space is 16 feet, and that would be a substandard parking space. So we have a condition in the board order that they do have two full parking spaces on the site, and that they reconfigure their driveways to accomplish that, in order to mitigate any potential negative impact and the possibility of any cars hanging over the sidewalk. So with that, we recommend that the variance be approved. And if you have any questions, we're here to answer them.
Before we hear from the applicant, I know the applicant just arrived. I'd like to swear you in if you're going to be providing testimony. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Any questions for members of the board of staff at this point? Applicant wish to be heard?
How many feet is it again from the end of the structure to the sidewalk?
13 feet, 2 inches.
I had a question for staff. In staff's evaluation of this, I understand the site has a lot more pervious area than required.
Mm-hmm. Can you turn your mic?
With the two... Sorry. In staff's analysis of this and the site having more pervious area than required, is the front yard still in compliance with the pervious area?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have a concern of stormwater.
They still meet the open space requirement for the front yard.
Any other questions by staff? Applicant wish to be heard? Who's the applicant? You're the applicant? Come forward. State your name and address, please.
Yes,
I remind you, you're under oath.
Good morning. I'm Moises Rivera, and she's Eve Ferguson. She's the homeowner, and I'm the engineer for the project. And basically, a quick introduction, family that lived here in Miami Beach for the last 16 years. They lived in an apartment building before. Now they found a home, and they'd like to have this garage, but due to the placement, et cetera, of the home, now we had to apply for this variance.
Does the applicant agree to the conditions that staff put on their recommendation for approval?
Yes, sir.
Any questions by members of the board? Right. Anyone else wish to be heard on this matter? Thank you. Come forward, please.
And before we hear from the public, do any board members...
State your name and address, please.
Yeah, my name is Fred Shapiro. This is Bonnie Shapiro, my wife. We live at 1760 Cleveland Road.
You're under oath.
Yes, we do live at 1760 Cleveland Road, and Bonnie is my wife. But and we only have 3 minutes, so I'll try to be quick. May Bonnie distribute these packets so you can follow along with our presentation?
It's a little late to do that, but what do they contain?
Well, they contain, we wrote a letter that we gave to Mr. Williams.
We have the letter.
And it also contains a continuing legal education article on zoning variances and when they may be permitted or not permitted in the state of Florida. Also one of the significant cases here, which applies to one of the rationales of the Planning Commission. And I just wanted to close the case. It's City of Jacksonville v. Taylor, 1998, which has been used as controlling precedent in other cases since then and has not been overturned.
Mr. Shapiro, can I assume from the posture that you're taking, that you're opposed to the granting?
We are opposed, yes. I just wanted to get this distributed prior to stating why we were here. But, yes, I can, you know, look. Good morning.
Sure, go ahead.
But it's a little late.
Well, she does that. We are here to object. We are here to object to the granting of this variance. We don't do this lightly. When we first learned about this variance request through the mailing which we received from the city, we thought about it long and hard. We went over to our neighbor's home. We asked them about the details. We asked to see the plans. They were kind enough to show them to us. We discussed it amongst ourselves. We went out and did measurements in our yard to see how this would impact us. And we finally came to the conclusion that this would impact us severely. It would, in effect, if granted, this would result in the creation of a wall 11 feet high, 20 feet long, running the three-quarters of the distance of our front yard, blocking us from light, air, view, et cetera. Now, we are aware, fully aware, that since the case, I believe, was Eden Rock v. Fountain Blue, that light and air are not property rights. However, getting a variance is not a right either. In fact, the state of Florida is very strict on variances. In fact, they tend to like only... Cases have stated that a variance may only be granted where strict enforcement of the zoning ordinance is in effect a taking. To conclude that depriving 1746 of a garage would be a taking of his property, I do not believe is substantiated by the facts here. Our neighborhood, Biscayne Point, was developed with wide setbacks. And wide front and rear setbacks and front setbacks, giving the neighborhood a spacious field with extensive outdoor areas for recreation. Granting this variance will run counter to that.
Would you like to request a few additional minutes?
May I have a few additional moments?
Mr. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not going to cut them off.
Now, according to the case of Troop B. Burden, this is in the materials I've given you, creating a variance is illegal and beyond the authority of any local administrative body where the proposed variance is not shown to be in harmony with and not in derogation of the spirit, intent, purpose, or general plan of the zoning regulations. We believe that increasing the density of this lot will run counter to that. Additionally, you have to consider the fact that zoning variances are generally granted where there is some specific condition on that lot which creates a need for it, and to not allow the variance would, in effect, be a taking of that lot. For example, a person buys a lot that has significant unbuildable portions on it. He discovers this after he buys it. It's a problem for him, and he has to do something, and to deny him, say, a setback variance would make his lot useless. It would be a city taking, and so the cities can then grant a variance. That is not the case here. Also, I note that the city and the planning commission at a couple of points raises the point that other variances such as this one have been granted, and there are other variances showing, you know, going into the setback. In the case of Jacksonville v. Taylor, as I mentioned, this is... each variance request must be considered on its own merits. You do not consider that the same variance has been granted in other locations. In the city of Jacksonville v. Taylor, the conditions were much more dire. The Taylors had inherited two lots which had no access to a public road. They did have an easement to get to and from their property. But the city's regulations on zoning would have made it impossible for them to develop those lots, and so the city granted them a variance from that regulation, allowing them to develop. And the Planning Commission of the City of Jacksonville pointed out that they had granted many such variances to other neighbors in that area. The court rejected that argument and overturned the city and ruled against the city. That is not a grounds for granting that variance. The city may only look at the specific facts in that instance. And I believe if this board looks at the facts in this instance, they will find that this is not a good grounds for granting this variance. And I go now to my letter, which you've read. One, I've mentioned the impact on us. The neighbors have good use of their property. Their hardship, as it were, is they are not able to park in a garage, and they do not have a garage in which to store their things. They still have full use of their lot other than that. Now, a second point that is if you look to section 118-353 of the city zoning code, which is a state-mandated code, so Jacksonville, Miami, et cetera, all have similar regulations. They say this may not be self-created. The hardship that you're seeking cannot be self-created. The state has interpreted that, not just that you create it yourself. However, if you do an affirmative act, which results in creating that hardship. And an affirmative act can include buying a substandard lot, for example, or in this case, buying a house without a garage. The applicant bought a home without a garage. They were aware of the zoning code. They would be held by the state of Florida to have created this hardship. And we feel for that reason, this on point two, this request fails to meet that standard. Paragraph three. Granting the variance will not confer on the applicant any special privilege. As shown on these exhibits, the improvements on the applicant's lot are situated much like everyone else's. There are very few variances going out this far into the setback line. In our letter, we attached an exhibit showing the, I think, 64 lots that are on the three blocks. As you will be able to see, half of those don't have garages, and the others don't go out beyond the setback lines. This would create an unusual situation. And since applicant's lot is in fact identical to 64 other lots on this street, to grant this applicant this variance would not give this board any rational reason to deny the same variance to any other person on those lots. And if you do that, you're basically rewriting the zoning code without doing so through statute, but rather just through fiat. We don't think that's an appropriate use of the zoning code.
Mr. Shapiro, I thank you for your dissertation to us. I've let you run way over.
I understand, sir.
What we normally do.
Okay.
Do members of the board have any questions?
I do too.
Mr. Shapiro, currently, is there any blockage or any design feature or other feature between yours and the applicant's home out of about where they want to build that garage?
Rich, look at the pictures
on the
letter.
Excuse me?
The pictures on the letter, which is what
there's
I want to get
into. There's a row of hedges, sir.
Yeah, so if you go to build off Mr. Barron's comment, exhibit one to your letter, that's the hedge between the two properties?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you're marking between the hedge with the yellow line where the garage would be?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have between both properties, you have a pretty robust hedge.
It's about 5 feet tall, sir.
And it seems to be, you know, pretty filled out. You can't even see through to the other side of the property.
We can see the sky above it. It's 5 feet tall as opposed to 11, and it's a hedgerow as opposed to a white wall with no windows.
And sun comes through that, so it comes through onto our landscape.
Yes, we're not shaded by it. It's dappled light throughout the hedgerow and just sunlight thereafter. And it, once again, it's a little less than half the height of the proposed structure.
Technically, you could grow your hedge a little higher, though, too, right, if that was going to bother you so much that there was building on the other side?
Well, Mr. Siegel, we would not build our – to object to – we would not increase the spacious feel of our backyard by having a higher hedge to balance the 11-foot wall that's right behind it. Additionally, because of the fact that it's a non-conforming use, it's actually would be a foot closer to our yard than in many cases if, of course, other people come in here because they also want a variance from this condition. It would be a little bit harder on us because it's a foot closer to our yard.
Thank you. The city can clarify this. But isn't there a height restriction on a hedge? No?
No.
There's a
height restriction on
There's a fence height restriction, but as I recall, there's no hedge height restriction.
That's correct.
No. So they could grow a hedge if they wanted to on their property, you know, at least 15 feet high if they wanted
right.
to.
Right, no, I understand. I confused between a fence and a hedge,
nice
but
hedge
certainly creating a 12-foot tall hedge at that location in plan, closer to your house, it creates that much of a wall, an enclosure.
Yes, but hedges are generally let through more light and more air and are somewhat more attractive than cement walls.
Any other questions by members of the board? I have a question, Ms. Spear. How long have you lived in your house?
3 years.
3 years?
Roughly.
All right. I want you to know, just not necessarily for the record, but when I was representing Washington Federal Savings years ago, I think we financed most of the houses that were built on Biscayne Point and Cleveland Road and Daytona Road and so forth. Of course, two of our senior officers, one lived on Daytona Road and one lived, I think, on Cleveland Road.
Mm-hmm.
Your house, as I recall, backs up to the water?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
May I speak?
Sure.
We have an exhibit there where the houses along Cleveland Road, we've indicated where they have garages and where they don't. The houses that don't have garages, they were originally built with garages. They're pretty much, it was a development. And what people have done is have enclosed those garages, and that is the case with the Fergusons. Also on our street, there are no garages that are built out like they are asking for. What they have are canvas covers, or in one case there's a solar cover, which is a kind of a translucent plastic looking thing. So in the case of those covers, they still allow light and air coming through. We would be looking at a wall that's 3/4 of the length of our front property. And all of our landscape there would be in deep shade. And it's not only an 11-foot wall, that's the mid, so they have a peaked roof, so it really ends up being 12 feet before the sun comes over. We get about six hours of sunlight on our lawn year-round. We get a little bit more in the summer and a little less in the winter. I have landscape material that requires sun. It was planted there. I've developed it and such. So that's really my comment. We would feel really closed in by this. And it would be an extraordinary circumstance in our community to have a garage like this pulled out to the very front of the property.
How many?
No others have it. They just don't.
Thank you. I think we're starting to repeat ourselves.
Well, you said it was 11. What was the distance between the end of the garage and the sidewalk again?
13 feet, 2 inches.
And how many other houses on that street have that proximity to the sidewalk?
We don't have exact measurements, but it looks to us from looking at aerial photography and from drives that we've done that about 10 out of the 30 houses on the block have an encroachment into the setback.
But that close to the sidewalk, the same distance?
Not the same exact distance, but some do go further.
So how many have the distance that they're requiring?
I don't have the exact number of that distance. I just can tell you that 10 have it.
It would also be good in general if we could have the power of you putting up Google Earth onto the screen so that not everybody has the computer to be able to see it in front of them so that you could demonstrate that situation. But I think that it's important to find out or to know that information, because if there are the only house that's trying to get the variance to get that close to the sidewalk versus the other ones, and we don't have that information, I think it's important.
I would also point out that the exhibits to the letter do have the aerial photographs, and each house which has a garage is marked. Each house which does not have a garage is marked.
No, but that's not my question. My question is, how many feet are there? How many houses have the same distance from what they're proposing to the sidewalk?
There is one.
There's one.
And it's an unrenovated, it's marked on there. It's an unrenovated house, and the garage goes almost out toward, I think it's like 6-7 feet from the sidewalk. But it also has a short canvas.
Any other questions by members of the board?
Yeah, I have a few questions. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if the city doesn't know what the overall encroachments of those 10 other properties, do you have an average? And you mentioned 32, they mentioned 64, and you said that there were 64 other houses with the same configuration?
I didn't say 64.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe I did.
Okay.
It's one of 64 lots. That's on the entire street.
Okay.
Cleveland on all both sides.
So I'm wondering, where's the average for the encroachments? And then for you guys, as you know, protesting to this, staff said that by right they could do a carport.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And so you would.
We have no problem.
We would have no problem with that. And Mr. Klein, actually, the zoning ordinance suggests that where there is a less intensive use, which one can make to resolve your hardship.
Okay.
Without.
And did somebody say that this house originally had a garage?
Yes.
And so that.
As many of the houses along.
So that's been filled in, and I imagine the finished floor elevation brought up.
A lot of the houses that had garages, they converted them to additional rooms.
So then, and so this maybe is more for staff, as variance being self-imposed and buying a piece of property, how is it different when your house is close to the front property line versus and wanting a garage or any improvement? And having a pie-shaped lot where the pie-shaped lot has intrinsic restrictions built into it. Is one given seen as less of a self-imposed hardship?
But we see this more as a practical difficulty that the house is in place, and that in order to allow them to have the garage, they would have to do significant demolition to this property and to the structure. Lose out on their usable space, and they do have the ability to do additions to the rear, which could result potentially in an even larger home, because they are so low on their lot coverage and unit size, so they could potentially have even larger impacts by right.
So then they could do a rear addition and build and recreate the original garage without an impact of being here at all.
That's a possibility.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
So... And then one other question, if you don't mind, because I think it's very, have you guys done anything to come together? Have you done something as an owner and a designer to come together with your neighbors to meet somewhere, compromise in the design?
We have not. We did meet first to go over the plans, and then at the second meeting, we wanted to meet with our neighbor in order to tell them that we would be objecting, and we both felt that it was a good thing we lived in a city such as Miami Beach, where these things can be resolved civilly, and this is with no animosity. But and we would hope to work with him in the event that this is denied. We understand his need. We understand that he wants to improve his lifestyle. He wants to improve the value of his home. We have the same desires for ourselves. We would hope to work this out. And, of course, if he wants to build as of right, that's the sort of thing where we would, you know, offer water to the workmen. I mean, we're not.
What you're saying before, and I believe your wife said that also, is you would have no objection to a carport.
No, sir.
Filling that space.
No.
Of course, the carport doesn't have the side walls. It's really the side walls.
It's the side walls and the height.
That you're objecting to more than anything else.
Does
the applicant have any comments regarding that?
I think at this time we may want to ask the public to take their seats and then give the applicant a few minutes to present their rebuttal.
Yeah, I'd like to try to do it my way.
Before we do that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask a question of Mr. Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro, I'm listening very carefully to your comments, and it seems to me that both yours and your wife's concern is the 10, 11, 12-foot height of the extension of the garage. As I look at
the wall.
And the solidity of it.
As I look at page 23, which is a proposed site plan of the new garage, it seems to me that if they moved it towards the back of the house where there's an existing bedroom, which presumably was the old garage, you would still have that 12-foot wall only 6.5 feet further back. You're going to have the same impact if this was redesigned to build that garage right up to the abutting home.
I'm sorry. What are you saying?
I am saying that if they move the home back, the garage into the home where the existing garage was, you would still have the same 12-foot high roof line adjacent to your property line. And the only difference is that they're asking for an extension onto the easement of 6 feet and And 10, almost 7 feet.
No, they're asking for an addition of what?
Well, it's going to be 20 feet when done. It's going to be a wall in the front of our house.
I understand that, but they could do it anyway without coming for this board for 14 feet because they're entitled to do it if there's a 20-foot setback.
That's correct.
So you're going to be impacted if they move it back 6 feet. The only impact that I see to you is 6 feet in the encroachment.
They can't build the garage. Excuse me, ma'am.
Well, one, that's probably too short. And
of course they can.
Well, okay. Well, if it was possible, I presumably, if that is the case, then of course you should deny this because there is a less intensive use. They can make the same use without requesting this ordinance, without requesting this variance. And I would say that having a 14-foot wall next to our house, as opposed to a 20-foot wall, is better. We're not asking for perfection, and we're not asking this board to solve all of our problems, but we are asking this board to correctly interpret and apply the laws of the state of Florida.
Are there any other questions by members of the board? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Does the applicant have anything further to say?
Well, when we're approaching this, and Mr. Barron brings a good point, we can build the same 20 feet in the back of the home. They'll still have the same shade in the back of the home. We can actually go larger in the back of the home. Now, if we want to go with a front carport, then maybe we can do that, but then there's no privacy to that carport. Maybe there's canvas also that can go vertically, and they'll still have the same effect. They're actually only being affected by the 6'10". That's it. The rest, we can still build in the front, and we can still build in the back. The front, we can still build it, respecting the setbacks. It won't be a garage anymore because then we won't be able to fit a car unless we go into the front room where we'll have to tear apart the kid's room, and then we'll have to replace that room in the back. So it's a large impact. They bought the home as is, existing. Yes, apparently there was a garage that was enclosed by the previous owner. The placing of that home within the site, unfortunately, I wish it would have been a little bit more back, towards the back, where there's plenty of space.
Can I therefore assume that you are sticking by your application and do not intend to change the method of how you want to build the garage?
We're open to suggestions from them. We would like to come to some sort of agreement if they we can beautify that wall. I mean, we can increase the hedge. We'll paint a mural on that wall if it makes it better. We would like to still request this.
You still need the variance.
Yes, because the destruction of the home is just going to be massive. In the back of the home is their kitchen. It's just sliding doors that lead to the patio. There's no, like, another bedroom there that we can tie into. I mean, I'm sure we can get creative, but it's not the ideal situation.
So, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. So what you're saying is that, in essence, they could build 6 feet in front and then also build how many feet in the back?
They could build 14 feet.
In the back. In the front. And how many in the back?
Much more.
Like 20
feet.
Like 40 something feet. So,
right. So, in essence,
we'll build another 25 in the back if we.
Right. So, in essence, it's either get a variance for 6 additional feet in the front or do 14 feet in the front and then have 25 feet in the back, which is going to give them a lot more shade in the backyard in addition to the extra 6 feet shade in the front.
In addition, they could put a carport, which they haven't objected to, in the front, which is not, everyone understands, not the most beautiful thing as well, and then build whatever they want in the back and still being within lot coverage. So I think when we're considering this, we're really talking about 6 feet here, and I think we might be focusing on 6 feet when they actually could be doing a lot worse as far as building McMansions and bigger homes, and they're asking for 6 feet to have a garage. Personally, I don't think it's that offensive.
Versus the alternative, which is a lot worse.
Right.
The alternative will be building the front and building the back.
Thank you very much.
I think one of the issues, though, that the board should take into consideration, and I'm not trying to sell this one way or another, but when we're talking about the impact of this 6 feet, this 7 feet, 6 feet, 10 inches, is the impact that it has on the neighborhood. When you're saying it could be a lot worse, well, that's going to be, space that's privately used in the backyard and not impacted on the street when you're talking about McMansions feeling like, you know, they're built right out to the property line. And that's one of the problems I feel we have, is that we build
there out. There is another precedent that was mentioned, that the one that had 7 feet, we're 6'10". So we're...
All right. Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on this matter? Not. The public hearing is closed. The board prepared to vote. Do I hear a motion?
I move to accept the
second by Siegel.
I'm sorry, I need to hear the motion more clearly on the record.
Motion made to approve the granting of the variance, seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. One opposed. Congratulations, you have your variance. All righty, moving right along.
Invite them over to a party.
All right, we have 1375 Marseille Drive.
This is file number ZBA 18-0075. The applicant is requesting an after-the-fact variance for a rear yard setback and an after-the-fact interior side yard setback variance for the retention of a covered terrace in the rear yard of a single-family home. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a variance to reduce the 7'10" minimum required rear yard setback of 20 feet for the retention of a covered terrace addition located at 12 feet 2 inches from the rear property line. The second variance is to exceed by 11 inches the maximum projection of 1'3" for a roof overhang and to require an interior side yard for the same covered terrace. Basically, the property had a covered terrace installed at some point in time. We don't know when it was installed, but it was caught by the building department and a violation was issued. The applicant, the homeowner, applied for a building permit to legalize that structure, where we discovered that it required a variance. So in order for him to clear the violation, a variance would have to be issued to keep the structure as is, or they would have to pull a permit to demolish it. The variance is encroaching into the rear yard, but the code does allow rear yard encroachments with the requirement that it is separated from the main structure by 5 feet. So technically, the structure as is would be permitted if there was a 5-foot separation from the home. The only other portion that would require the variance is the overhang. So the terrace does follow the non-conforming 5-foot setback, and it does match the actual roof overhang of the home. But that portion of the roof overhang does encroach into the setback more than what is allowed. And staff is recommending approval.
Yes, sir. Name, please.
Reynaldo Agui. I'm requesting, I purchased this home about a year and 4 months ago with the existing terrace that's there. I wasn't aware that it was built illegally, but I bought the home with that in consideration because the house has no backyard shade from the sun at all. If you have pictures, I believe you can see that the rear of the house. So it's an open terrace, it's not closed. I have a letter here even from my neighbors saying that they like it, they don't object to it or anything. If you want, I can pass it out if you want to read it. Steven said, the overhang matches the existing home and it's just an overhang, it's not an actual structure. It's an open terrace, and I'm just requesting a variance for the approval of the setback on the east side and the north side. The north side, I believe it's like 6 feet or 7 feet.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to be heard on this matter? I guess not. I don't see anybody. No. Members of the board, question?
Are the pictures that are submitted there, is that the final product?
No.
So is there a picture of what the final product is going to look like?
No, because... I purchased the home like that. I'm waiting for this to be approved, so then the building department can give me the building permit, and then I could finish it and call final inspection.
So what is it going to look like finished?
It's going to match like the back of the house. It's going to be white. It's going to have the columns are going to match the columns in between the sliding glass doors, if you see in the picture, and it's just going to be just stucco white, smooth. It's just some shade.
Okay.
Are you building walls there?
No.
Just columns?
No, the columns are there already.
Right. You're just going to enhance those columns. You're
Yeah, just make them look a little nicer. They're only 4 inches thick, so make them a little thicker.
Right.
There is a condition in the order that the walls cannot be installed. It has to remain an open terrace.
No walls.
And the 145 square feet, is that a variance around the pool, the deck?
No. That was just he requested me to show how much...
How much impervious there was.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much
Correct.
More.
To show that it does
That's
comply with code. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions, members of the board? There's nobody here willing to hear. The public hearing is closed. The board prepared to vote. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Your second? Second. All those in favor say aye. 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 Opposed, like sign. Congratulations.
Thank you. What do now for an order for me to take that to the building department? I got to see you.
Yes, we have to record the final order, and then once you receive that, you'll be able to finish the permit.
Okay, so I wait for that in the mail.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
For sure. I'm on the water, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Any other matters before the board?
Those are the only matters before the board today.
Move to adjourn, Siegel.
We'll accept that motion.
Motion failed. Must stay.